Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. We are about to have this conversation. Before we get there, I have to remind you the Mark Steiner Show, and I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, this is a credit union, not just a bank, so it belongs to you. www.mecu.com. Or you can go to steinershow.org and click on their banner, and all the information will be right there. We are talking with people from the Algebra Project in this first part of our program. And we've had the Algebra Projects on the show, I don't know, over the last 10 years or more, 12 years, 10, 15, 20 times. They've been here to talk about the work they do. Young activists, students in our community who are trying to make a difference with the work that they do. We're joined today by Greg Hill, who is coordinator for the Algebra Project Advocacy Committee. Welcome to the show. Catherine Engelman's with us. She's a sophomore here at Morgan State University and food campaign organizer and site coordinator for the Algebra Project. Tuan Jordan is with us. He's classroom instructor at Lake Clifton Campus Cohort Class. Good to have you as well. And Tuan Roberts is a junior at Heritage High, where he leads the food campaign at Heritage High. Good to have you all with us.
Good to be here.
410-319-8888 is the number. And Greg, I'll start with you. I mean, just to kind of a background here, about what this new move by the Algebra Project is in terms of food in our school system. How did it start? What is it about?
Basically, what we're trying to do is improve the quality of food in schools around Baltimore City. We frame that work underneath the outline of right number 8 on our National Student Bill of Rights, which ensures all students around the country the right to a healthy and quality school food program, be that breakfast, lunch, or supper program in the schools around the city and around the country.
So what does that mean to you all? I mean, how do you define what that means, right to quality food? What does that mean? Catherine, you want to jump in?
We believe that quality food is something that is healthy, it's nutritious, it is adequately portioned. So everybody in public schools should be able to have those things so they can properly function in schools. They can not have behavioral problems. Some people may not eat at home, so they can eat at school, and they can get nutritious meals instead of eating fast food because they don't get good stuff at school or they don't get stuff at home.
So you're saying most of the school lunches where you went to high school before or where you all go now is fast food?
I'm not saying that it's fast food, but it's not necessarily the healthiest food, and it's not the best tasting food. It's not the best portioned food or well-cooked food.
Tuan?
Also, to add on to what Kat said, none of the food actually is prepared on site at the schools. It's pretty much like prepared somewhere else, another state, frozen, then shipped and reheated. So by the time it actually hits the student's plate, it's far from desirable and far from quality or anything that you want to eat. So pretty much what we're trying to do now is have the food prepared on site to retain some of those, you know, nutritious qualities to ensure that the students can be functioning during school.
Now, I remember that there was, for a couple of years, Tony Gerassi was here, and he was head of the food at City Schools and was trying to make these changes, actually, to start a farm and try to bring fresh food into the schools, and was fighting to have kind of a central warehouse, central kitchen, where food could be brought to and cooked every day and taken to schools, because most schools don't have facilities to cook their own food. That never happened, but he did fight for it. How do you expect this to happen? And what are you demanding to happen, and how do you see it happening?
A few weeks ago, we did a presentation. A few of our younger organizers did a presentation at the school board, and we got a few of the commissioners on the school board to agree to be a part of this working group. And what the working group does pretty much is to figure out all of the logistics of how we can get this done, where the money will be coming from, what we'll need to get these things done. And I'm not 100% on exactly what commissioners those are, but I know that is the working group is a really crucial part of the end goal.
So give us a sense, Latwain, about what is going on at your school and what food is like and how you got involved in this?
As far as that, is of what we're doing at our school is that every Monday we have these meetings in our school, and a teacher allows us to have it in her classroom, and we raise awareness to the students to help support us get better school food. When they come and they express to us how they think about the school food, how they feel about it, and how they can make it better, and what they can, and we let them know what they can do to us, I mean, what they can do with us to make it better. Another thing about, you said, I'm sorry.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. We'll come back to it. So folks, join us here, 410-319-8888. Come to these calls, come in just a minute. And go ahead, Twan.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to something as far as what we're doing, at Heritage, but not just at Heritage. We're doing a lot of educating the students, like Dayton said. So a few weeks ago, we took some students on a farm trip to the
Great Kids Farm.
It's two different farms, the Great Kids and Real Food. I get them mixed up. So the Great Kids
Real Food is the four business. Great Kids is the one owned by the schools, right?
Right. So we took them to the Great Kids Farm. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't go, but from my understanding, they went to the farm. They were shown, I guess, the ins and outs of farms, and they were shown, you know, what actually nutritious food looks like grown and how, you know, what conditions have to be, I guess, satisfied in order for that food to exist. And so they, you know, we educating the students on the physical food itself, too.
So I'm curious what you think. I mean, all right, so I understand. Most schools I go to, the food is not the best food in the world. It's also not most nutritious. I mean, as you were saying, a lot of it comes from New Jersey. They ship it down here. It's food that's been made somewhere else, frozen, gets reheated on the microwaves while they reheat it, and they serve it to the students. I mean, that's very different than when I was a kid. I'm older, obviously. And when we were kids, they did cook the food in the kitchens. We still complain, but the food was cooked at least in the kitchens. It was hot from the ovens, but that doesn't happen now. There are actually cooks in every school, so that doesn't happen now. So the question is, how do you see it changing? What do you see as a way out of this, and what has to happen to make it different? Go ahead, Greg.
Well, you spoke about Jurassic earlier,
right?
And one of his ideas was the big centralized kitchen idea, but our idea is similar and dissimilar, I guess you would say, as what we actually want is the food to be prepared on site at each school. So every school currently does not have a fully functioning kitchen, but Heritage High School does.
Yours does?
Yes, it does.
Huh.
Which is why what the working group is actually working on is creating a pilot school and, I guess, an example to work with as far as what a working school kitchen looks like with all the meals being prepared on site, how we can use students who may be interested in culinary arts as a career in that kitchen and have them work from there, and how we can, how we can figure out all the logistics through actual practice instead of just paperwork.
Let's explore this for a minute. So, I mean, I remember we did a story, I think it was last year, at Digital Harbor High School, Digital High School downtown in South Baltimore. They have a kitchen there. They have a whole culinary tract, and people learn that. So with this idea you have, and I had no idea that Heritage had a kitchen. I don't know how many schools in the city have a kitchen. Do you know how many schools have a kitchen in the city?
I know City has one, Maryville, Northwestern, I think, Pali. It's not a lot.
Take the procurement issues aside, because, you know, the school system is going to come back and say, we have contracts, we have to procure our food a certain way, so we can't buy this food. So if you take that argument and put it over here for a minute, how do you see it working? I mean, do you see it working that the school would then buy fresh food from local people like a local restaurant does, and then you'd have a track in the school to teach culinary arts, and the students and the adult who's teaching would be doing that? I mean, how do you envision this going on?
So our vision, our idea was to have, because I don't know if you know, but outside of Heritage High School, we have hoop houses. And so,
oh, yeah. Right. Heritage High is over at Lake Clifton.
Right.
Okay, got it. So we were
thinking about having the food from the hoop houses brought into the school, as well as other food, where we'll have a chef on site. We'll have, like, student apprentices help cook the food, and they will also be, like, cafeteria staff help serve, portion the food and serve it to the students. So we was just saying, like, we just, the chef, the students help cooking and preparing. So not also are they helping us cook, but they also getting culinary arts educated as well.
Now, have you all talked, I'm just curious, have you talked to the workers in the kitchen at your school? I mean, are they into this with you? Have you had this conversation with them?
We had a conversation, but we really didn't get that far yet because we're still preparing the working group. So on top of preparing the working group is talking to the cafeteria staff and talking to the chef and seeing how much and what things we need to do next.
You about to say something, Greg?
No.
Somebody looks like you were. Okay. So join us here, 410-319-8888. These are four of our student activists in this community are talking about changing the way food is done in our schools. And I think that we all offer them kind of a support and questions and ideas and hear what they have to say. They're from the Algebra Project. Just heard Daytuan Roberts, who is a junior at Heritage High, where he leads the food campaign at Heritage High School. Kat Engelman is with us. She's a sophomore here at Morgan State University, food campaign organizer and site coordinator for the Algebra Project. Greg Hill is coordinator for the Algebra Project's Advocacy Committee, and Tuan Jordan is classroom instructor at Lake Clifton Campus Cohort Class, 410-319-8888. We're always talking about young people not being involved. Well, here they are, and they are involved. Let's go back to Heritage High and kind of talk about what that might look like. I mean, I know the hoop houses in Clifton Park, some of them are functioning, some of them are not, right, at this moment?
Right, yes.
Right? So obviously you want to get those moving again. You want to get somebody to come in and run them and teach people how to make it work.
Right. They actually have a program where students actually help go out to the farm and participate in the farm. They go out there and they show them how to grow stuff, how to pick it up, how to keep it heated and not heated if it has to cool down. They have a program in the school. I think it's with the science department, if I'm not sure. I haven't personally been out there, but I've heard people talk about it.
So, go ahead, Craig.
Basically the thing is, like those hoop houses, because I was a student at Heritage and I helped build those hoop houses. So, there used to be a program there that was the ETU store, the Entrepreneurship Training Unit.
Right. I remember that.
And those, they were a part of a really big push for that as well. But in their thinking, as well as ours at the time, those hoop houses would be used to supply fresh food to the inside of our school. And there are a lot of school, I guess, farms or hoop houses around the city, but none of that food is being used for the students. It's being used to kind of generate some additional revenue for the schools, but not actually for personal consumption of the students.
Now, so would you see the four of you working in those hoop houses and growing the food, being part of that, or just?
I would see myself out there getting down and dirty.
Not me.
No?
I don't like dirt.
But you want to eat it. Just want someone else to grow it.
Yeah.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Mel, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good evening, Mrs. Steiner.
Good evening, Mel.
How's everybody?
Good. Very well.
Yeah, I want to commend the young man. It's true that we are always calling to always say something negative, but this is an opportunity for us to congratulate our young men. I'm really proud of these kids. Not kids, but young men. I was wondering if you're not able to get the pilot program off the ground to where they are able to implement it in more schools. Could it be some way that they could create maybe a fundraising program where they can raise the monies or funds to open up an establishment maybe within the community that they could provide fresh food for the citizens of the community?
That is a good idea.
So, Tuan or Kat, you want to jump in on this? Go ahead, Kat.
Currently, well, if all the schools can't get a pilot program or the program in their schools, they can apply for a salad bar, which will help the process of getting fresh foods into their schools. I don't know necessarily what to do about the community. Maybe you can start a community garden. You can, just start a community garden and provide fresh foods, fruits and vegetables for the community.
So, go ahead.
No, I wasn't.
Okay. So how do you plan on organizing this? I mean, I suppose it's only one of you is still in high school, right? That's you.
Me.
The rest of you are out of high school. And where did you go to high school, Kat?
I went to Baltimore Polytechnic Institute.
Went to Poly. Okay. What does that mean? They have a thumbs down. My grandson went to Poly. Graduated last year. You like city?
No,
Okay, just checking. So, in all seriousness, how do you intend to organize students around this issue, and what is the plan to organize students around this?
excuse me. Well, as Daytuan said, as far as Heritage goes, there are these meetings every Monday. There are several other schools where there's young organizers organizing around this issue. They have meetings every week about what's going on, keeping them current, also keeping the students involved. You have Heritage, you have Northwestern, you have Mervo, you have Poly, you have City. And the Algebra Project has meetings specifically for the food campaign on Wednesdays where these schools and these organizers for these schools convene, and we talk about what's going on and what's our next steps and what needs to be done and how we can get it done.
So I'd like to know what the plan is, man. How are you going to get it done? What do you plan to do? Is this a process of kind of rebuilding the hoop houses and trying to find people to literally go on the ground and reopen the hoop houses at places like Heritage off in Lake Clifton? Or is this a process of sitting in at the cafeteria since the food is better? Is this, what is the way you want to go about making this happen?
Well, right now, our biggest thing is, of course, the pilot program. Because our idea is that this is a model that can work for every school. I mean, students right now they feel a huge disconnect between them and the food that they're eating currently. And they also feel like something that can be done to change it is as simple as cooking that food on site. And that's what the majority of students would like to see happen. They would like to take part in actually shaping the way the menu looks, as well as shaping the food that goes out to the rest of their peers and the rest of the students, as well as the faculty in the schools. So our biggest thing right now is that we're working with Rod Womack, who is, in essence, the person who now has Jurassic's
right,
job.
Right, he took over Jurassic's job, right.
And Neil Duke, who's the chairman of the school board, I think that's.
And what's their response to what you're saying?
Neil Duke is a really big supporter. Rod Womack is in support as well. Of course, he has ideas. I think he kind of more so likes the idea of the centralized kitchen as opposed to individual on-site scratch cooking, but they're both really big supporters, and they've been a really great help to us thus far.
In fact, tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, we have the students at Heritage have a meeting with Rod Womack. Daytuan can tell you a little bit more about that, though.
Yes, because a couple weeks ago we had a meeting with Mr. Rod Womack, and he introduced to us that he has this program about a salad bar when you can talk to him and request to him that we can get a salad bar into our school. So me, I requested that we can have a salad bar. So I went to the school, talked to the students, asked them how they think about a salad bar getting to the school. It was like, great. So I scheduled a meeting, and tomorrow he's supposed to be coming to Lake Clifton and seeing if we can get a salad bar inside of Heritage.
So I'm curious, just taking a step back, I mean, how you all made this the struggle you were going to fight for? What brought this to the fore? I mean, Kat, why don't you start? Why was this the struggle that you all decided to work on?
Personally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, the lead organizer on the campaign is my co-site coordinator at City. So I work a lot with him, and I started going to the meetings, and I just got really interested. I like the whole thing. We've been a couple places. I like farms. It's all interesting to me, and I would like to see better food, even though I don't get to benefit because I'm in college. But I would like to see better food for everyone.
Me personally, I look at school as like my home away from home. So two of my three meals that I'm eating are prepared at school, well, supposed to be prepared at school, but they're shipping it in from wherever they're shipping it in, and it's not only is it, it's just like, it's not good. So I like talked to some other organizers that we got at Heritage, and they thought it was a good idea, and we just went about it.
excuse me. I've been around the Algebra Project for a few years now, and this wasn't the first attempt that we've took at the food justice idea, but the first few times it didn't really go far. And this year, I mean, we did a lot of talking, and we had the idea of like on-site cooking, and I figured like, well, this is something that really could happen. This is a goal we could work towards. It's something that can definitely get done. We have the people to do it, and it's something that that we can do. Also, like Cash said, I'm not in high school, but that's my brother, by the way. That's my little brother.
Uh-huh.
He's in high school, and I got other brothers and sisters and the students that I teach, and I would like for them to be, you know, have a nutritious meal so they can function in school. So it's not necessarily just about me. It's more so about them, where I'm from, my look into it.
Hey, Greg.
Oh, yeah, I think, I guess, organizationally, the standpoint that we've taken about this is, one, that, of course, it's something that all students have a right to, is a quality meal while they're in school. But on a local level, we see this as not only a winnable goal, but a really important thing for the students to have in Baltimore City. As everyone in the Baltimore Algebra Project is a product of Baltimore City Public Schools. So we've all tasted the food we've encountered.
Right.
Well, it's not really so much about taste as it is about fact that students won't eat it. If students aren't eating the food, we see the type of problems that it causes. It causes upset students. It causes tired, lazy students. And it disrupts the flow of total entire work days. And being that we organizationally care about the education of these students, we're trying to do any and everything we can to make sure that they'll be able to have a productive learning day every day. So this is, I guess, starting at the root of that. Like, once they're fed, then we'll worry about how many new textbooks they need.
Let's open the phones again, 410-319-8888. And Clarence, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Mr. Steiner.
Hi, Clarence. Welcome.
I was debating whether or not to bring this issue up with the kids because it's a top-heavy issue, not to say that they couldn't handle it, but maybe about 2 weeks ago I was listening to a news broadcast and I understood that Cisco System was the only food delivery system in the country for, if I'm correct, and I would hope that somebody else who may have more knowledge would enlighten the kids, is the only delivery system used by public school systems. And there was an issue of an option of the A grade, or as I'm putting it, B grade of meat products that were delivered to the school system. The B product was, which was basically the leftovers, which were then bleached and packaged, and the school systems had an option of purchasing the A grade, which was not, or the B grade, which was. So I felt like, well, if that is the case and that's the way that things are happening, that they're the ones that are eating it, so they should have the right to know. And if they should have a right to know which grade they are getting, if they have issue with it, then that should be an issue that they would bring up too, if I'm correct. So if anybody else is more on the subject, I would, you know, put them on the right track. Thank you.
Thank you, Clarence, as usual. Anybody know about this?
I'm not very sure that I understood.
Well, Cisco Systems is a distribution service that distributes food from all across the country. And I think that I know Baltimore City Schools, I think, gets a lot of their food through Cisco Systems. They have a warehouse, I know, on the Eastern Shore. I don't know if they have one here, but, like, would take food from New Jersey and bring it down, and then they bring it to schools, and they have the contract. That's the thing that I know Tony Gerassi always talked about, that he had to butt his head up against all the time. Was there's the issue of procurement, because the school system has these contracts of where they buy the food, and to change the nature of the food you eat, you're going to have to really revolutionize the system and either have a central kitchen, you know, where people can cook the food and deliver to schools, because it might be too much money to build a new kitchen in every school. Those schools that have kitchens could maybe cook their own, but then you have to figure out a new way of getting fresh food to our schools, and how you're going to buy them, where you're going to put them, and how you're going to make that happen. So it's a it is a revolutionary change. Not that it can't happen. Mm-hmm. Not that it shouldn't happen. I mean, how do you all see it happening? How do you think this is going to happen? When you envision this, how do you see it happening?
Are you asking how do we see the end goal, or how do we see us getting to the end goal?
Well, maybe both. I mean, how do you see this really being played out? I mean, how do you see this kind of push happening for that benefits the students and actually gets fresh food in the schools? I mean, your idea, I think, they talk about the growing the food outside in the hoop houses, is a brilliant idea. I think that's something that is one way of getting fresh food into our schools, and kids learn students learn a trade, they learn a way of doing things, and can make, you know, keep it going when they're done. But how do you see this going on? What is it that if you had to put a plan in front of the school system and say, this is what we want, what would it be?
Well, I guess the way that I see it is, when because it's proven that students who eat better will perform better.
Yeah.
And I think results come through, I guess, practice. So when schools are able to see, hey, at Heritage High, all the food was cooked fresh on site last year. Test grades went up by 50%. Attendance went up by 60%. Principals will start wanting that. And not only will principals start wanting that, but they'll start putting money toward those type of endeavors. And at that point, I don't think North Avenue will really be able to deny those requests. Because with the principals taking, I guess, charge of pretty much the majority of their budgets at this point, I don't think North Avenue will have as much of a say in it as the schools will, and the students will obviously push to keep those things up and running, of course, if those are things that they like once they have it.
We're almost out of time with this, almost, not quite. I mean, I'm curious what you all think. Kev, why don't you take a stab at this?
I agree with Greg. Pretty much at these five schools that we work with, Poly, City, Northwestern, Mervo, and Lake, we're all starting with a core group of kids that are talking about the issues, and they're all making requests to their principals, and it starts with that small group, and they keep making requests so the principals are aware of the situation, and once Heritage gets it, then they can start making those requests at their schools, and then, like Greg said, keep making these requests, and the principals will start putting money towards it. We can get the kitchens.
So you all see, in some ways, Heritage as the test case?
Yes.
To make this happen system-wide?
Yes, sir.
So, go ahead, man.
One of the main reasons why we picked Heritage High School, because out of those 6 schools that we just said, I think Heritage High School is the school that has, I think it's about 700 schools on roll. Every day is probably about, at the max, maybe 350 students in that school each day. Attendance is not great. Test scores not great.
You're talking about at Heritage.
At Heritage. The work ethic is not great, so we pick Heritage to see if we can improve the stuff at Heritage, then maybe it can be done at any other school.
I just want to add to what Dates once said. So, the cohort class that I teach in, we had them since 9th grade, they're in the 11th grade now. We provide them a nutritious kind of snack, if you will. So they have fresh fruit, they have 100% juice, they have granola and stuff like that. And you can see that it works. You know, a few weeks ago, we had the snacks taken away because of a technicality, and you can see the difference in the attendance in the class. You can see the difference in they're willing to work in the class. You can see the attendance and the attention span in the class. And then we got them back also recently, and like I said, you can pretty much, I guess, count it on your fingers, you know, the difference between when they didn't have it and when they did have it. And also, the cohort class has the highest, as a group, has the highest attendance in the school. So, you know, that screams results to me that if the students are being provided nutrition, they'll come, they'll learn, they'll do work, and it'll be good work.
Well, this has been, we'd like to continue following the story with y'all and pushing it and hear what people say. I guess you've heard of the Real Food Challenge, you know about those people doing that work on campuses across the country and here in Maryland as well. They're trying to do the same things on college campuses. Maybe y'all should, we'll see if we can next conversation they have, hook you up with that conversation to make that alliance going on. This is really good to have you all here. We've been talking to the young people from the Algebra Project who are trying to change the nature of food in our school system, working at it through Heritage High as their example, and organizing students around the city. You just heard the voice of Tuan Jordan, who is classroom instructor at Lake Clifton. His brother is here as well, Dayton Roberts, junior at Heritage High. Kat Engelman's here, sophomore here at Morgan State and food campaign organizer and site coordinator for this project. And Greg Hill, coordinator for Algebra Projects Advocacy Committee. Good to have you all with us.
Thank you.
Folks, don't go away when we come back. Rangina Hamidi is with us from Afghanistan to talk about her thoughts on Americans' withdrawal and what's going on with women in Afghanistan and the issues facing that country and ours. Stay with us. We'll be right back.